fine point. Mm-hmm. It's like the Zebra fine point pen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for work, I can get them like through Office Player, for you know, or I can go down to the office supply store and just get them. And I,
right,
you know, I use them pretty much till they run out of ink. But Terrence came over one day and picked up. He's like, "Whoa, this is a $5 pen." He's like, "I recognize
them because
they're expensive." I'm like, "Well, they are expensive.
They're good pens, though.
They're
smooth.
They're really good, and they write forever.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like I've had a few of them. Like I buy some. I probably buy a pair like twice, maybe three times a year because mm-hmm. I'll lose them from time to time just in work. But man, they'll just go forever.
And when I worked at Halliburton, those are the ones we used to get at the office and
good stuff.
Stay stocked up on them.
So welcome everybody. We crossed that threshold. We are now in episode 81. Man,
now
we're starting to count down to the episode 100. We need to figure out something good to do for 100. We might need to get in some of our guests. Maybe we can get Chris in. Maybe Terrence. Maybe Jacob. Maybe Anthony. Maybe just have a big old round table of folks so we can just get drunk and shoot shit for episode 100. I mean, it's 100th issue spectacular. Might as well guest star it out, right?
No joke, man.
I don't know. Let's come up with a subject, though. We'll figure it out. But anyway, guys, we're not there yet. We're in episode 81. And if I seem a little subdued, it's because Scott over here has the mood lighting on instead of the overhead light. He's got like this little lamp. The TV's on mute. It's just kind of like...
This is a chill night.
You expect to hear some Barry White coming out. And I'm like, whoa, bro. Anyway, it is April 30th, 2018. We are going to finish... We're recording this episode at some point in the past, but...
We're 1 week away from Frightmare Weekend.
We're fixing to hop in the car and go. Yeah. We just have a couple more days till Frightmare, so we're definitely going to do a special episode. So
we'll get meta on that.
The next you hear from us will certainly be either on the road to, on the road from, or somewhere at Frightmare,
because
we'll be recording a lot. I need to really stack up some batteries. I'm going to clear out my entire recorder.
I'm going to have mine too, so
it'll be a good time. But this episode is we're gonna title it Metaphorically Speaking, and the reason why is we'll explain the title once we get to the body of work down here later. In the meantime, it is about time for some old business. We did a couple of meta episodes, and then we've done a couple it's been a long time since we did old business. Not in the timeline you're listening to it, but in the timeline we're recording it.
Right, you did a bunch of metas last week, so.
So.
I actually watched Adam's Family the other day, where he's talking about, we must do old business first.
Yeah.
We cannot do new business till April 9th.
Yeah, it came out just perfect. That's when the new business episode comes out, so. Anyway, April 30th, on this date in 1789, George Washington takes the oath of office as our first president.
Pretty big news.
That is big news. In 1803, the Louisiana Purchase went through, doubling the size of the United States. Can you imagine when George Washington took office, the map looked different?
Oh, yeah. Very much so.
In, let's see, 1812, Louisiana itself becomes a state.
The boot.
Not the purchase.
Right. Not the whole territory, just the boot.
That would have been crazy.
Just one huge state going all the way across the United States.
They would have had some voting power there. They've been like, crawdads! Crawdads for mayor! Crawdads for president! We just did our yearly crawfish boil for work.
Okay.
And crawfish... Crawfish, the shiznit right there, dude. I love them.
You know, I used to cater crawfish balls and stuff.
It's
most I'd cook at a time is 500 pounds at a time, but yeah, it was. I ate some this past weekend. I get my crawfish fix on for sure.
Man, what's crazy is if you've got the tank, if you've got the boiler, well, even if you don't have the boiler, it's going to be four trips to the restaurant will buy you a boiler.
Right.
Because you're not going to walk out of there. Two of you going to eat crawfish and not really even get full, have crawfish and a few beers, it was going to be about a $50, $60 run. You bought the boiler for, like, I think $179. You can get it at Academy for the tank boiler.
You get it for pretty cheap.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
you get a jet burner for like $40.
Well, I'm talking like the big old one that you can.
Oh, the pot,
you can
the pot and everything.
The pot and the boiler, yeah, and you know, and the burner and everything. You can get that for $179. I think Joe got a bag of crawfish for like $1.77 a pound, so it's like $60 for the big old bag. And man, he cooked the crawfish, and we had like 10 or 12. No, we had like closer to 20 people there, just standing there eating crawfish till you can't eat them anymore, and there's still some left. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like $15 a family, like to throw in, right, kind of like beer money. Right. Like, oh, everybody pay Joe back. It's like $15 a right family. It was incredible.
You know, the Toys R Us Part 2 episode, you were talking about lobster and everything, and how, you know, the price. It became a delicacy over time. Mm-hmm. I remember crawfish when I was a kid. My mom would buy the... she'd go to like the factories where they'd peel them to sell the crawfish tail meat. She'd pay a nickel a pound for the ones they didn't want, that weren't big enough. And actually, like, select crawfish were about 35, 60 cents a pound at the most.
Wow.
And because me, I remember in college, me and my best friend Jared, this is, I used to be able to put away crawfish, dude. We'd go buy a sack, 30, 35 pounds of crawfish, and me and him would eat that.
That doesn't surprise me.
Sit there and just eat a whole sack of crawfish.
If given enough time, I'm the same way, because I'll just sit there and, like, especially you get a couple beers, like, so you start kind of fall into that.
Get that rhythm going.
Yeah, you get it. Well, no, so, like, you kind of fall into the trance, exactly. Yeah. You get the rhythm going, you got the music, you're drinking a couple beers, you're cracking shells, and you're just chatting. Oh, yeah, I bet you I could do that. You know,
but yeah, before, when crawfish was still just pretty much in Louisiana, it was cheap, dude. Mm-hmm. It was really, really cheap to have a crawfish boil.
I heard years ago, I think it was with Ike. It might have been with, it was either Ike or Rita. Probably Rita, because Rita hit Louisiana too. Mm-hmm. Was that, not Katrina, because Katrina hit on like the
Rita album. Was right after.
Yeah.
And they hit on the, more towards the southwest side of Louisiana.
Right, because Katrina hit like
New Orleans and went up to Mississippi.
Well, yeah, it hit the Mississippi, Alabama. It hit, yeah, on the east side of New Orleans, of Louisiana. Yeah. And then Katrina hit on the west side.
Yeah.
Where all the crawfish ponds are, mm-hmm, where they raise them.
Yeah.
And said that they blew them out, like, so far north. It was like, in, like, they were raining down in, like, Kansas or something. Can you imagine, Jesus, like, the rain's, like, dropping little pissed off crustaceans.
You know, my uncle used to have a crawfish pond when I was growing up. I used to go play on the... They had levees basically separating off the sections of a pond, little sharp ones. And I remember one of the freakiest things I saw when I was young. And I was maybe eight or nine because my dad was still alive. He had these, like, mini bear traps that he'd use to catch raccoons that would go eat the crawfish. And there was one that was in the trap gnawing his leg off to get out of it. And I walked upon it. It freaked me the hell out, dude.
Did you hear? Is it in? Did you put it in new business?
What?
Like the raccoons?
The zombie raccoons?
Uh-huh.
It's facing me right now.
Okay. We'll wait for that. I'm like, wow. What a segue. All right, let's get through this. All right, let's see. 1927, the first federal women's prison opened in West Virginia. So before 1927, there was no federal women's prison, and then there was, I guess.
And next thing you know, we had caged heat.
That's it. And all kinds of wonderful 80s movies. Like, they give them nothing but bandages to wear. Like, it's all swaddling. Comes off easy. All right, let's see. 1938. Porky's Hare Hunt debuts and introduces Happy Rabbit, which is a prototype of Bugs Bunny.
Bitty, bitty, bitty.
So, 1938. Bugs Bunny.
He's aged well.
He has. Dude, honestly, like, it bugs me if you, because I was brought up watching the old cartoons. So, like, Mickey Mouse's voice, whenever they used other people besides Walt Disney, it's like, it's not exactly the same.
Right.
And same thing, Bugs Bunny and the other characters that are not Mel Blanc.
Oh, it doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound right. It obviously is not them, you know?
Mel Blanc was a master, dude.
It was insane. Just so many of the voices. All right. In lighter news, on this date in 1945, Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun commit suicide.
Good riddance.
No shit. See ya.
He took the easy way out for sure, dude.
Dude.
He deserves so much worse.
Can you imagine? Like, okay. This ain't getting no sympathy to Hitler, but if you know those fuckers are coming and what you have done.
And what's going to happen to you, how hated you are.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's no easy way out. He would have been tortured just for the hell of it.
Right.
That was before a lot of the rules of war. I mean, they had rules of war and how to treat POWs, but right. Germany didn't follow those things.
No.
And it would have been humorous. but it would have been unfun for Mr. Adolf. All right. 1966. The Church of Satan is formed in San Francisco.
Anton LaVey.
So that was good. I wonder what I always think of, like, a backwards church, to where instead of inside it's outside, and instead of stained glass it's just like lead or something else. Like,
I need to find the article. It was either, I'm trying to find it to show it to you, but it was either Hillary or Chelsea Clinton had retweeted a tweet from the Church of Satan, not realizing it was the Church of Satan that had put the tweet out. Yeah. But it had something to do with, like, the holidays or something, so they retweeted it.
I remember when I was a kid, Anton LaVey was on some talk show. It's like Phil Donahue.
Phil Donahue, probably. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
And, you know, so he had his robes on, and he's all white with his beard and everything. And my dad... Because Anton LaVey had those crazy eyebrows, like the bushy ones, yeah, that were, like, long, and then they kind of poofed out to the side. And my dad's like, son, you think you could grow your eyebrows like that? And I was like, I don't think so. He's like, me either. He's like, that man was born for his job.
You got eyebrows like that, there's not much more you can do. Just like facial tattoos. You've pretty much limited your career choices when you get to that point.
Yep. It's crazy. Oh, man. All right. On this date in 1975, the fall of Saigon. The Vietnam formally ends with the surrender of the South. On this date in 1997, Ellen DeGeneres comes out as gay. That was kind of a game changer in media.
Yeah. She's gotten just huger since then.
She fell away for a while. I don't know. Like, she had an episode recently. My wife likes to watch her show. I'm never home to watch it.
I don't find her funny.
Well, I don't watch talk shows in general. I don't have anything against Ellen specifically. It's just, right, I don't like that format. It bugs me. But she had an episode where she was talking about how, like, and it was like a retrospective. It was like her 100th, it's like her 1,000th episode. She's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about how whenever her show came out, you know, and like how certain people were blacklisted and it was like controversial and it was all blah, 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 blah. And I was like, see, I remember, because I wasn't as conservative then as I am now, and I'm not even conservative now, but back then I'm kind of like, that's kind of cool. And I watched her show, and it went from being a rather quaint sort of comedy, like, it was a little sitcom about a bookstore, and then it just turned into, like, a gay rights parade.
Right.
And it, like, all the jokes were just not funny, because it was just, like, in your face, like, like, me, me, me,
agenda.
Me,
me, me.
And I was like, ah, oh, whatever, this show's not funny anymore. And then they're like, oh, the ratings tanked. I'm like, I don't think so, because I think you can have good writing in spite of your subject matter.
Yeah.
They just took the lazy path.
Right.
And then, but she came back. She came back with Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
For sure. That brought her back into the spotlight. And hey, man, all the more to her.
More power to her. Yeah, not hate on anybody that likes her. I just personally don't find her funny. I know plenty of people that watch her and they enjoy
her. Her wife is hilarious. Portia De Rossi.
Yeah.
She was in, Arrested Development. Okay. And she was in a show called Better Off Ted, which was like a corporate. It was like she's like the CEO of a evil empire corporate thing. She's just, it's funny if you find it on Netflix. All right, back to some happier news. This date in 2008, two skeletal remains found in Russia confirmed to be that of Alexei and Anastasia, two of Tsar Nicholas II's children, the Romanovs, who were executed by the Bolsheviks.
Okay.
So, there was always a rumor that Anastasia made it out somehow, but Nope. All right. On this date, 1926, happy birthday to Cloris Leachman. Comedic actress. Yeah. She's been in so many things. I guess most recently she was in Raising Hope.
Okay.
She was like the grandma with Alzheimer's. She didn't remember stuff.
Okay. And
she's
good.
She is real good.
She's good.
I want to say she was in Malcolm in the Middle too, but I don't know if that's right.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. She was on a whole bunch of Hollywood Squares and talk shows.
Yeah.
And I think she was in Young Frankenstein, actually.
Was she in Young Frankenstein?
I think she... I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know. This date, 1982, getting back to horror, Kirsten Dunst, who played in Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, so many other movies. She grew up on the screen.
Yeah. In 1985, happy birthday to Wonder Woman, Miss Gal Gadot. She's pretty sweet.
Yeah, she is.
Follow her on Instagram. She's a cool chick. And, like, she'd probably punch me for saying chick because she's all like...
From a Nazi.
She's not a Nazi. She's just cool.
Okay.
And she's just stands up for women and girls, and it's cool, but she's not over the top. She's cool. Speaking of Nazis, notable deaths. This date, 1945. There goes Adolf. Just have to send him off one more time. 1974, we lost Agnes Moorehead. That name rings familiar because it's always posted on the title cards of Bewitched. She played Samantha's mom.
Mom, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
It always said Durwood instead of Darren. And on this date in 1983, we lost Mr. Muddy Waters.
Oh, that's a heavy hitter right there, dude.
Big time.
I got his vinyl somewhere around here, his greatest hits. He was awesome. Definitely before his time.
Yeah. And that is it for old business.
Okay.
So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be right back with some new business.
My name is Matthew Finnis, and something terrible has happened to me. An event that has sent me traveling down a road I was never meant to be on. This is my story, and the story of countless others. This is a story of what lies in the shadows of Morston, Texas.
Siren Aside is a serialized horror drama based in the wicked world woven in and around Morston, Texas. The criminal factions and dark government agencies are just the start of the malevolence that roams the streets of this macabre city. The tales in Siren Aside tap into the fear and lore that envelop what most would consider to be fiction.
How much more is out there? Is every monster real?
Most tales are based on some fact.
The production plays host to a plethora of popular personalities from other nightmarish podcasts.
Oh, it's Lena. Lena Klein.
Just a number now. That's it. 447.
I bet you believe in yellow eyes now, huh, boy?
Thanks to the research team here at the Laughlin Institute, we have finally found the answer to beating disease entirely.
What have I done? Kate, help me, please.
That's not me. His body is accepting death.
Evil has reigned unchecked in this city for far too long.
The main cast of Siren Aside's creepy, courageous, and curious characters evolve with the overarching story, but they also chronicle some amazing self-contained, standalone tales.
It's vile. Eddie, vile.
Reporting live, I'm Margaret Sharp. Back to you, Dave.
An operating theater. Well, more of a stage to showcase our talents to our clients.
Look at me, please. We'll climb this mountain together.
The original music serves the episode's atmosphere in a way that embraces and enhances each scene.
Thank you.
So uncover the dark secrets, evil murders, supernatural experiences, and mysterious doctors awaiting in this modern epic. Binge the show for free right now on your favorite podcast platform or at sirenicide.com.
We're back.
We are.
Well, you know, I want to start off with, and I don't have the write-up on it, but because I just heard about it this late this evening. Did you hear about the bodies they found in Sugar Land?
Mm-mm.
Dude, it is a short story in the making.
Really?
A horror story, yes. Fort Bend Independent School District is getting this area ready to build some kind of student developmental center. Found 38 bodies. They think it was an unmarked graveyard.
Oh, wow.
From God knows when. So they're moving all these bodies right now, and they're still going to build on top of it.
I guess they found them in coffins or at least remnants.
It doesn't sound like it. It just sounds like they were just buried.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like 38 bodies they found, dude. It's pretty crazy.
Interesting.
Poltergeist in a high school.
Yeah, right. I have not heard about that.
Yeah, I just heard about it. It was breaking news this afternoon. Right there in Sugar Land off of Grand Parkway, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, check it out. It's definitely an inspiration for a story.
I will do it.
Okay. Area Youngstown, Ohio. Residents have been reporting a very frightening sight, zombie raccoons. It's not a joke. It's raccoons that are freaking people out. One resident described the situation as this. He was walking his dog when he noticed he was being followed by a raccoon. The raccoon followed him all the way to his door, and they got up on his hind legs and showed its teeth, bared its teeth. Then without warning, the raccoon froze and fell over backwards like it had been paralyzed. A raccoon would then wake up a few moments later and repeat the same behavior. And he's not the only one reporting this kind of behavior from raccoons in daylight. This is...
Yeah, they're bad if you see them in daylight.
Now, of course, the explanation by veterinarians and stuff that they have this temper is what's going on. And it's just making them look like a animal version of Night of the Living Dead at this point. But yeah, it's pretty... Just imagine a raccoon following you, all of a sudden jumping on his hind legs and...
Yeah,
wanted to come after you. That would freak anybody out.
Well, we've had enough wildlife issues in our neighborhood from time to time. Like, I'm not scared of much, but I'm a whole lot less scared of things if I have a nice sidearm. Have a stick or a sharp pokey thing, and preferably a bang stick if I can swing it. Dude, we've had, you know, bobcats killing cats. We've had, you know, raccoons the size of, like, small dogs. Or not even small dogs, like medium-sized dogs, like monster ones. We live over there by the bayou.
Right.
I've told
you. They use the bayous to migrate, so they're always
passing
through.
Well, I also use the drainage systems.
Yeah.
Like, they get down in the drains, and it's dark down there. So even if it's not technically nighttime outside... They can move around because they're nocturnal, and then they decide they need to move. They can cross, you know, but you see them in the daytime. They're not nice. And every now and then we'll go for a walk, and I'll throw my pistol in my pocket. And my wife's like, what do you think's really going to happen? I'm like, dog, raccoon, you know, zombie raccoon, distemper, rabid,
right.
Something or other. I mean, same as having a pocket knife. I might go in and out of the house 20 times and never open my pocket knife, but that one time I needed to cut some string, it sure is helpful. You never quite know.
Okay. In the background, of course, we're watching Under the Rainbow, which, for those of you that don't know, Under the Rainbow was a movie that came out back in the late 80s.
Early
80s. It was early 80s? Okay. And what it follows the story of the... behind the scenes of the filming of The Wizard of Oz, and it basically all the little people that played the Munchkins staying in the same hotel, and just it portrays them as a bunch of drunk, sexist
cut-ups,
yeah, that were sexually harassing women, that didn't care, that tore the hotel up and everything else. Well, the movie may have been a little closer to the truth than we actually thought. And in this era of the Me Too movement, Sid Luft, who was the husband of Judy Garland, has re-released a book that It's going to be coming out later on in September. Describing how Judy Garland talked about just how she was molested by the Munchkins. She was 16 years old, and they put their hands under her dress. They would every chance they got, they just were attacking her. And she described them as a bunch of drunks that just partied all night and just cut up, just like in the movie that we're watching right now in the background. It's some pretty crazy allegations. And, of course, there's one Munchkin left alive, Mr. Jerry Marin, who's 98 years old right now. He's the last living Munchkin from The Wizard of Oz. And he's made statements about it before, but right now he's just avoiding any kind of spotlight about it. But his explanation his argument as to why that's a bunch of bull, as he put it, the Toto made more money than the Munchkins did. They didn't have money to go drinking and partying and carrying on and everything. They pretty much did their job. They were making $50 a week. They weren't the cut-ups that they're being portrayed as by Judy Garland's.
But only because widow. They couldn't afford it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because they couldn't afford it. You could still be a sexist asshole.
But. Yeah. Still send somebody down to the liquor store to grab $5 worth of nasty hooch.
Right. But it's pretty disturbing that these, they're all in their 40s and shit, you know? They were doing this to this 16-year-old girl. And
shit. Younger than that, actually. They're, like, if he's 98, so then I guess Wizard of Oz came out in, what, 38, 39?
Mm-hmm.
So...
yeah, but some of these men were in their 40s. Not necessarily him, but, you know, it's just kind of sad.
Yeah, it's messed up.
It's tainting definitely a classic movie. Okay, big news this week in movies. Well, there's a couple of big stories in movies this week. Have you seen the trailer for The Meg?
I have, several times. That looks awesome.
It looks awesome, but it's one of those movies where I'm concerned that the best parts are in the trailer. That it's actually, it's not going to transfer as well to the screen. And they've released a poster and some other stuff that's kind of taking jabs at Jaws, which I found was interesting. Have you seen that there's one?
Yeah, where they're putting the big sharks under the smaller shark that's
under the person swimming, yeah.
I don't know that, it might be tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think they're being disrespectful.
I actually heard about this movie yesterday. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's so many, like, there's, I'm sure that it's been floating around the rumor mill, but there's so many, like, shark movies and a remake of Deep Blue Sea or whatever else that I kind of ignore it, because there hasn't been a really good shark movie. I didn't even like Deep Blue Sea.
I didn't care for that one too much. It was ridiculous.
Since Jaws. I mean, Open Water was good, but that was closer to documentary than and it was terrifying, but it wasn't really like summer popcorn.
Right.
There hasn't really been a great shark movie since Jaws.
Right.
I'm not saying that this is Jaws. I'm saying that there hasn't been a fully formed big budget, you know.
Well, part of the problem with Deep Blue Sea was the overuse of CGI, stuff like that, that just made it too unbelievable. You know, Jaws still had a level of believability.
Right.
You know, and that's my concern with this movie, is that it's going to be the same type of thing.
Well, in Jaws, regardless of the fact that they couldn't get Bruce to work correctly, the shark in Jaws was a real shark.
Yeah.
Maybe it was maddened for whatever reason. It behaved in ways that great whites don't typically do, except for, you know, they'll snatch people, they'll snatch swimmers, and, you know, they'll bang into stuff, and there's videos all over YouTube of them swimming into cages and banging into things and biting stuff that they shouldn't. That was exaggerated, you know. Now, of course, you have Steven Spielberg behind the camera.
Yeah.
That lends a serious gravitas to it.
Would
Jaws have been as good if anybody else had been directing it? Right. Maybe not. Even though that was his, like, major breakthrough, but still, he's just a master.
Right.
I think Meg looks fun.
As long as they do it right. I don't want it to be another Deep Blue Sea.
Yeah, so. I hope it's not.
But it's, you know, I've argued that a megalodon could still exist. This is going to show us what it would be like if I am correct.
Yes. So I watched the trailer. My daughter was sitting over my shoulder. She's like, oh, because she's all big into. And she's like, Daddy, how big is that shark? Because on my phone, obviously, it's like, you know, quarter of an inch long, and it looks huge. She's like, how big is it? So we walked out. This was before I came over here tonight.
He paced off 75 feet.
Well, I paced off 60, because that's what they say that they're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And it goes from our front door to the middle of the street. And she's like standing in the middle of the street looking back at her front door. She's like, that's huge. She's like, how big is a regular great white? I paced off 20. I think the biggest great white they've ever caught is like 24, 25 feet. Mm-hmm. But that's like super rare. Like normally they get to around 18 to 20 feet. So I paced off 20 feet and she's like, that's not so bad. I was like, it can swallow you whole.
Right. Okay. Quiet Place.
Knocked a Steven Spielberg movie off the top charts.
A Quiet Place is on pace right now to break $100 million. Okay. Last year. Now, chances of us 2018 being like 2017, mirroring the success of It, is slim to none. But last year was the first time more than one horror movie broke the $100 million mark. We had four last year. We're already starting off with one this year with A Quiet Place. So it's supposed to be a damn good movie.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about it. Everybody says it's great, and I just don't know when I can get
it's
out
the
there.
Best opening ever for an original horror movie. So that's for original script and everything. It is the biggest opening they've ever had in the horror genre. So, yeah.
Well, I knew that it knocked off
Ready Player One.
Ready Player One, which is a Steven Spielberg movie. It was, you know, Black Panther's still really kicking it.
Yeah.
You know, and they've been out for a while now, and they're still raking it in. So you put A Quiet Place, which is probably just a soft release, you know, it's like, we got this and it's good, let's throw it out there, and put it up against Steven Spielberg movie on the same opening weekend and it wins.
Right. You know, Ready Player One looks cool, but it looks like one of those movies I'll wait till I can watch it at home.
Yeah, probably so.
I've never read the book, so I'm not familiar with the book at all.
I'm about to read the book. Meg just finished it, so okay. I'm gonna power through.
But it looks like one of those movies that's going to be fun to watch because it's going to bring up some nostalgia, but it looks like it's like you better not have ADD and watch this movie because it's just so overwhelming with CGI and everything
else. And references.
You can get lost to it. So that's why I think I'm going to wait for that one to come to the house. We'll close with this. Let's bring back my topic of bitches be crazy. We have a woman from Altamonte Springs, Florida, facing attempted homicide charges after police say she sprayed gasoline on her ex-boyfriend and set him on fire on Easter Sunday. So, 38-year-old Siobhan Perez asked her ex-boyfriend to come over and have Easter dinner with me. While they were having dinner, she said, hey, just do me a favor, would you fix this pipe I have in the bathroom that's leaking for me while you're over here? So he's like, sure, I'll go ahead and take care of that. So as he's fixing the pipe, she comes inside the bathroom with a container. And he said, what you got in the container? And she said, it's gasoline, you son of a bitch.
Oh, wow.
At which point she began spraying him with gasoline, saying, you are going to pay. And the boyfriend quickly noticed that he was on fire. And began taking his clothes off, trying to get the flames out. She was locking, as he was doing that, she realized she was locking the front door to keep him from leaving and being stuck inside the burning apartment. And what she did is she sprayed fluid all over the floor so the apartment caught on fire too. So he ended up being severely burned on his face, chest, neck, arm, and hand. But he survived, of course, and she has been arrested for attempted homicide.
Wow.
That nice lady.
Wow. The fair sex, right?
Yeah. But that's it for new business. We get into there. Unless you want to talk about this real quick, bring up James Cameron's Terminator 6 reboot sequel has been pushed back. The release date has been pushed back from July 26, 2019 to November 22nd. So there's been a delay in filming of that. So,
Well, the only thing I was going to say, new business, and I don't know, I mean, it's certainly topical, you know, politics being what they are, but every now and then something crazy happens and you have to look at it and be like, is this real? Is this the Onion or is this what? But Great Britain, the United Kingdom, is now on a crusade for universal knife control.
Yes.
And so what happened was, I guess Britain banned guns 10 years ago or maybe longer. So nobody in Britain, or in Britain, Britain's saying, let's call it Scotland, Britain, so Great Britain, you know, the island. I don't know what the laws are in Ireland, and it's not relevant. But, so you can't have any poppy gunny things. And in fact, I think Scotland even banned pellet guns and air rifles. So there's no projectile firing of any kind in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not a discussion we're going to have as to the merits or the not merits. All you're going to say is that darkness lies in the hearts of men, and if they can't fling that chunk of lead at you real fast, they're just going to do it a lot slower and a lot closer.
Yeah.
So stabbings and beatings have been on the rise in the UK for the last little while.
Well, they recently surpassed New York with murder rate.
Well, overall in Britain, their crime rate in general has always been lower, obviously, per capita than the United States. They've always been used as a beacon for...
This is the way it should be done.
Right. Except for once you ban guns, then the gangsters and the criminals and stuff, then they all just start stabbing each other.
Right.
Or, you know, robbing people or whatever with knives. Well... Now they're banning knives and the other...
And acid. They're also going to have new restrictions on acid because apparently they have acid attacks all the time.
Yeah, where the fuck do you get acid from?
Well, like when I used
pool
to do,
supply and stuff,
when
I guess.
When I used to do refrigeration repair, we used to use hydrochloric acid for cleaning coils out. You'd be able to go...
Well, I know what you mean, but you don't just be like... I mean, you can't
go, you're not going to find it at Walmart.
You're not just going to run up to Walmart
10% sulfuric acid.
Yeah, yeah. I need some shit that'll really burn. Like, you know, you just can't. I mean, if you're chemically minded, yeah, you can figure some stuff out. But you don't just go down and, you know, if you do need a knife, like if you need to chop up some carrots or something, you can run down to Walmart and buy yourself a knife.
Right.
You can buy a nice one or you can buy a cheap one. You know, they're there. But they showed on the news the other day, or like. Actually, the British, the London PD posted a thing saying that there was a weapons sweep. And, like, one of the weapons that they got was a pair of, like, orange-handled scissors. Like, the kind that you use just in office supplies.
It's a toenail clippers or something.
One of them was a screwdriver with, the replaceable bits. The, you know, kind of just, like, real rattly that you only use because it's in your girlfriend's toolbox or something. And it's always missing the bit that you need. And it, like, kind of ratchets. I'm like... That's not a weapon. I mean, I guess it could be.
Could be used as one,
right? Really, really, really desperate. But yeah, and so they're going to ban knives, and apparently some political person in Scotland is calling for the full ban of kitchen knives for the whole island. Kitchen knives. I tell Meg this.
That is ridiculous.
She's like, how are you going to cut your food? I was like, you got to think of the children. She's like, I am thinking of the children. How am I going to cut their hot dog? I'm like, it's insane. But anyway, I guess.
But Mayor Khan made the statement.
Poor Michael Myers, dude.
Yeah, he's going to be shit out of luck.
He'll just, I mean.
Well, there won't be machetes for Jason anymore either.
There are no machetes for Jason, no chainsaws for.
No, Freddy's glove is gone.
Uh huh.
But Mayor Khan made the statement that you have no reason to have a knife on your person. I'm like, I carry a knife every day. My knife is like my wallet almost. So I got to remember not to bring it to some places. And I use it pretty much every day for something.
I've got a knife on my pants that I've actually paid more in TSA, or not in postage, sending it home because I forgot to not take it to the airport, than I actually paid for the knife itself. I spent like $10 at a time like sending it home so I wouldn't lose it to TSA. Right. As opposed to being like, okay, here's my knife, because
whatever. See, you can't legitimately have a need for a knife. It's not that out of the realm of possibility, you know. It's they're going to solve problem solved.
Yeah,
going to ban knives.
They're going to ban baseball and cricket cleats.
You're going to eventually ban screwdrivers and other toys,
table
ice picks,
legs,
corkscrews. Think about all the things like you can use as a weapon, dude.
Everything. Corkscrews. Like, how are you going to open your nice bottle of wine?
You push it in.
I guess Britain would come back with, like, all of our food is boiled and mushy anyway. You don't need a knife. Anyway, yeah, I was just like...
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
There ain't no horror movies coming out of England anymore. Like... You can't, unless the American Werewolf in London, like, if the werewolf starts taking over the moors, then there ain't no silver bullets. There ain't no,
But crazy people or bad people are going to go ahead and horn people anybody they can find possible. It's...
Oh, yeah. I just can't believe that they're calling for a full ban on kitchen knives. Like, you know,
there's so much negativity out there right now, man, and it's so frustrating. Just, everybody, like, has to have an opinion about something. Or you always have at least one person that just has to go against something. It has to contradict you.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Tara had put this post up about a teacher of hers that went to Home Depot and said, what can I do in my class in the case of somebody coming to shoot the class up to try to stop it? And what they came up with is a little, it's like a piece of a wire rope, okay, that's attached to the door. And if an active shooter pops up, it has a one of those parachute clips on it. Where you bring it across, and there's already a bolt
in the wall,
where you just attach to it.
And they can't open
the door, and the glass is far enough to where if they break the glass, they can't reach the parachute clip to undo it. Somebody immediately comments, "What if the active shooter knows that that's there, and he goes and sets a fire? Then you got to come out, and he's going to wait for you outside to shoot you." Shit.
Solutions are solutions, you know, like,
it's a stopgap measure. It's something just to help, you know. It that is the stupidest comment, but he's like berating her for, like, you know, pushing that because this can happen.
Well, it's an idea.
We can play that game all day.
Oh yeah, it's just that's the thing. It's like, well, I'm gonna, you know, it's like, change the subject slightly, but I'm on a writer's group, and there's several of us that are active. So we actively write and post stories, and we actively seek feedback. And sometimes that feedback can be, I don't have to say necessarily harsh, because everybody puts it in a right context of, like, hey, you know, this could help, or this could hurt, or, you know, it was a little long in the middle, or whatever. But nobody's, like, really, you know, nobody's powdering anybody's ass, but it's real, legit stuff. So whenever it's gone through that process, and have some people, like, come back and be like, hey, here's a comment on my story, and it's like, this is the worst piece of shit I've ever read. And it's like, why would you just spend your time? It's like, if I read or hear a story or whatever that I just don't like, to me, I disregard it. I walk away from it like, I don't like that, so I'm just not going to mess with it.
Right. Yeah.
I don't spend the time hanging around the shit pile, breathing in the stink so I can comment on how much it sucks. I'm just like, woof, get that away from me. I'm done.
Right.
You know?
If you can't give constructive criticism, just go ahead and leave it alone.
Because there's stuff that I've read or I've seen or music or whatever that I just can't stand, but it's enormously successful.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, more power to the artist. That's great. Not everybody likes the same thing, but hey, if you're going to spend your time hating on shit, I think that's just the world we live in today.
Right.
Maybe not for long, though, because it looks like Facebook's getting their ass kicked right now.
Think of the day, you know, if we get to the point where everybody starts, you know, leaving Facebook, where are we going to go? What are we going to do for our information, for our social life? We're going to have to start meeting people face-to-face again. We're going to start having actually book clubs where we go talk to folks and everything.
Yeah. Dude, I want to leave Facebook, but I have too much, not of myself tied into it, but I have too many...
other projects. I mean, well, I got a business Facebook page. You know,
right. I got business Facebooks. I got friends that I've never met in real life, but, like, we're tight.
Right.
You know, like...
Hey. Well, with Comic Palooza, we communicate a lot through Facebook. You know, you have to be on Facebook. Platform. You know, it's such a pain.
Was that it for new business?
Yeah, that's it for new business.
All right, that was a good new business. Let's move on, and we'll start talking about some strange things. It's a strange episode, man. We'll see you guys in a minute.
Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this earth?
Destroy it utterly. Send Rick and Danny in wall rocket Ajax.
So, just destroy it?
That's what Ming said. Don't you ever listen?
Well, there's no arguing with Ming.
Hail Ming. Wait! You see those transmissions on the Visua screen?
Crow? Nightmare on Elm Street?
Chud 2? Black Belt Jones?
Nightbreed?
What's a critter?
Oh, I've seen those things.
Flash? I guess we could wait a while before the destruction.
Yeah, and watch the movies.
And talk about them.
The Hell Ming Power Hour. Disobedience to Ming. For now.
You can find us at Legion Podcast.
You can find us on Facebook.
iTunes.
We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram.
At You know what? Just Google it for yourself.
Just Google it, you bastages.
Hail Ming.
Breaking 2? Electric Boogaloo?
Samurai Cop?
Army of Darkness?
Flash Dance?
We might destroy the planet if it's Flash Dance.
He stopped loving her today. It placed a reef upon his door. And soon they'll carry him away. He stopped loving her today.
And we're back.
Hope you enjoyed that message.
So if you heard our little bit of bumper music between the commercial and the heart of the show, the title of this show is called Metaphorically Speaking. And the reason why is the day we're recording this, or the night before we're recording this, not the day it comes out, which is like almost a month from the time we're recording this, but for a short time in the past and hopefully into the future, I was doing a show with some folks. It was called Dude Looks Like the 80s.
Dude Looks Like the 80s.
It was on Legion Podcasts, and it was with Ricky from Hail Ming Power Hour, and it was from Brian and Jamie from the ABCs of Hidden Horror podcast. And Jamie posted, I don't know what... I didn't really catch the context. She was posting a whole bunch of old country songs from like the 70s and early 80s, and talking about how, you know, just nostalgia stuff. And the George Jones song, you know, "He Stopped Loving Her Today." it's a pretty straightforward song, but then whenever you actually listen to the lyrics, you find out that the reason he stopped loving her was because he died. that's the thing,
right?
Like, And if you've only ever heard the song, it's like because he's finally getting over a breakup and, you know, whatever, he's moving on. Well, he's moving on to heaven, because that's what, and it takes a lot of people by surprise, because that's what the song is about.
Right.
Well, she posted right after that, she posted this song. So that is Somebody's Knockin' by Terry Gibbs from 1980. And the thing was, whenever I was a little kid, I was had an overactive imagination, but I was still too young to understand any kind of
symbolism,
anything. So I was listening to these words, and I was taking them literally. So when she says somebody's knocking, should I let him in? Lord, it's the devil. Will you look at him? My child brain immediately said, no, you don't know, like, it's the devil. Like, and in my head, I'm thinking of all the different ways, like, you just kind of sneak slowly away from the door.
You don't let that into the house.
You don't let him in. Like, the answer is no. And, you know, she goes about, you know, describing him, and, you know, it's kind of creepy because she's like, you know, he must have tapped my telephone lines. He must have known I'm spending my time alone. So if you really think about it, this song is a kind of a horror movie, especially if you're a five-year-old.
It's and like thinking, when a stranger
like,
calls.
Yeah. It's like, whoa, the devil's at her door, and he's creeping on her, like stalking her and stuff. It's like, don't open the door, lady. Don't open the door. So anyway, I posted that on Jamie's comment. And she started cracking up, and so she's cracking up at my comment to that, and then later down the road, she posts another one. Where was it here? I'll play it right now.
Tonight I left those crystal candlelights to live a dream, and partner, there's a tiger in these tight-fitting jeans.
And that, my friends, was the big 1981 hit by Conway Twitty, and the title is Tight Fitting Jeans.
Tight Fitting Jeans.
And if you notice by the lyrics that you just heard, she tells him, honey, there's a tiger in these tight fitting jeans. And again, being a little kid and thinking literally, I'm thinking, like, does she have big pockets? Does she have like a tiger? Like, is it a little tiger?
Is it a little stuffed tiger?
I'm like, and why does she think that that's going to impress this guy? And again, not understanding the context. I mean, like, not knowing anything about sexuality or any of that stuff. In my head, he's like, goes to the, like, I understood what a bar was because, you know, like, not that my folks hung out in bars when I was a kid, but certain times you'd go to a restaurant, there'd be a bar, there'd be a neon light. So I understood what a bar was. And of course, there was no such thing as a non-smoking section back in, you know, 79, 80, 81. Right. Like, that was progressive. Like, that was, you smoked everywhere you went. Even five-year-olds, you know. But, so yeah, to go to the bar and be meeting somebody and being like, check it out, I got a tiger.
Look at the tiger in these pants.
Check out my tiger. Like, I just, so that's why we're doing this show tonight, is because, like, there's so many, and it's, I've thought about, after I thought about, like, we could talk about this for a while, I thought about, like, rock and roll songs, and they're not, it's not as straightforward as some of the country songs. And my dad used to listen to the country station. My mom did too. You know, I'd be sitting in the back seat, and maybe these songs would just be playing, and their lyrics are clear. Like, there's nothing.
No misinterpreting of the lyrics.
Right. They're very straightforward and clear. And
but just imagine an alien that doesn't have a concept of metaphors arriving.
Right.
And taking some of this stuff literally. It's just, it's hilarious to think about.
So, tonight, we're going to cut a couple of tracks. You're going to be like, man, Scary Dad Podcast? Dude, I just explained to you how Somebody's Knocking is like a horror movie. Like, I could turn around and write that
story. When a stranger calls is what it is. It's exactly what it is. Have you checked the children? Right?
And how tight-fitting jeans is basically cat people. You know? Like, if you think about it, not in a sexual way, but in a literal way, these are some scary words for a five-year-old to be listening to in the back seat while his folks are driving to church. Don't open the door to the devil, Mom. It's... Oh, man. So, not all of them are quite as, like...
Sinister.
Sinister. But there are some that even as a kid, you're like,
what? No,
yeah, right. So, you were talking earlier about how the Munchkins didn't have money to be, they couldn't be lecherous.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have any money. They got paid $50 a week. That's what you said, right?
Yes. Yes.
I've got $2 in the jukebox, $5 in a bottle, and more just in case that don't do the trick.
That dude went to the bar with $17.
Working on a budget.
And he's planning on, like, closing it down. Yeah. He's going straight for the bottom of that bottle. I don't know what kind of bottle he's drinking out of.
Some Old Crow.
But if you can go to the bar for $17 and get tore up and play the jukebox all night, then your money's worth a whole lot more money than mine is. So yeah, if they got paid $50 a week and $17 is what it takes to like really throw down, they could really throw down. Because that was like 40 years before. This was in the early 80s. Right. So.
Do you remember Old Crow by any chance?
Oh yeah.
I remember the rot gut ether based whiskey, dude. It was horrible. It was embalming fluid is what it was basically. My friend Rob's grandfather drank a fifth of that a day for like 60 years.
Man.
I have no idea how. I drank it for a while and it felt like I could feel my. When I used to cook, I used to drink a lot. For some reason, people that work in kitchens, they're either recovering alcoholics or they're alcoholics.
And they're on their way to be.
Yeah. And I remember it felt like the lining of my stomach was thinning when I was drinking that stuff. It was horrible.
Yeah, man. There's all kinds of nasty rot gut stuff out there.
But it was $6 a fifth. You couldn't beat that with a stick. Tear it up.
I remember hanging out with Chris one time. We were drinking Old Granddad.
Okay, I remember it.
You remember that?
I do. I have seen that before.
And he and I sat there drinking on this. Gotta think of it. It was a handle. It was a big old jug of Old Granddad whiskey. And we'd been sitting there for a couple of hours. Just drinking whiskey, playing checkers, smoking cigarettes, and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna go to bed, you know. You want to crash or you want to go home?" And I didn't live too far. I was like, "Yeah, I'll just go home." And I swear to God, I made it to the end of the street because I was stone sober. Got up. I'm like, "Man, that's just watered down rot gut. Dang, like." Chris is cheap. He probably drank half that bottle and then filled it all back up with water. You know, it's like it was nasty whiskey. Got in the car, drove down the street, stopped, turned around, creeped back to his house. I was like, man. he didn't answer the door, so I had to sleep in my car. I woke up so thirsty. It was like
God mouth.
Yo, it was horrible. But yeah, man, dude. Yeah, there's some nasty stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
It was...
And I've drank pretty much all of it, one time or another. Didn't have a discerning palate back in the day.
This is one of those things, like Esquire magazine has those lists. The list of things that you don't, you know, like you don't do after 30 or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like after 30, you no longer say a $3 bottle of wine is pretty good stuff. but that $2 in the jukebox, that was by a guy called Eddie Rabbit. And Eddie Rabbit actually wrote the next song that we're going to play. He didn't sing it, or he might have sung it at one point or another, but it's not why it's famous. Mm-hmm. But again, my literal mind. Here we go.
Pure love, baby, it's pure love. Milk and honey and Captain Crunch and you in the morning. It's pure love, 99 and 44 100 percent pure love.
Okay, so how are you going to tell me? Again, this came out in 1974, so it was floating around. I was born in 75, mm-hmm. So it'd been on the radio for a while. It was kind of still in heavy rotation. How are you going to tell me that your love is pure and then turn around and say it's 99 and 44 100 percent? I'm a little kid being like, well,
it's a very exact number.
There's still 54 100ths, 56 100ths that ain't pure love. I don't know what it is. It might be like
it's evil.
It might be evil. It might be bile. You tell me.
Impure love.
It ain't pure. It ain't pure. It's clay. I don't know, man. Little kids notice things.
Yeah,
you can't lie to kids; they'll remember. And so, like, man, now that we're doing this episode, I'm thinking of like the things that I tell my kids. Because I was a really little kid whenever I'm sitting there I'm doing math and being like, this dude's lying. 99 and 44 100ths is not 100. there's a very, very small percentage of not love in there. You know, like, did that ever occur to you? Is that ever, like, you've never paid attention?
No,
like,
no, never did. Like, not that one.
Yeah. I demand consistency. Oh, man, let's see. I'm going to scratch. I wrote a bunch down, and they're not necessarily in order, so I'm going to scratch them so I don't say them again. All right, I already said this one. All right, moving on to 1981.
When the key and folk leave and the kids get fed, me and my woman gonna slip off to bed. Have a little fun when we turn out the lights, Louisiana Saturday night. Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow, kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night.
You know what sucks about this song? It's a great song. It's a dancing song. It's a party song.
Mm-hmm. Louisiana Saturday night.
Dude says, dancing in the kitchen till the morning light, Louisiana Saturday night. But the last verse, he says that once the kids get fed, he and his mom are going to slip on to bed. Have a little fun when they turn out the light, Louisiana Saturday night, which kind of blows away the whole party thing.
It's like, it was more than one night. You got to realize it's Friday night, Saturday night, then Sunday night.
Well,
whatever. That's the way I'm trying to explain it. I have no idea, of course.
It's all Louisiana Saturday night. He said he was going to dance until the morning, but he ends up going to bed. Now, once again,
but he doesn't go to sleep.
Don't understand.
He goes to bed, but he doesn't go to sleep.
Yeah, when I'm five. You said we were staying up all night, and now you're going to bed. There's no fun to be had in bed. We were dancing. The kinfolk come over with the possum in a sack.
The morning light's not up yet.
The morning, like, we're still supposed to be dancing in the kitchen, guys. Come on. You put the kids to bed. There's no more dancing for them. And then you go to bed.
What's the point?
You just killed the whole song, guy. I know, you know, like, the whole point is when you're thinking literally, it can really mess up your thoughts
right.
about stuff.
It ruins things.
You're probably like, man, I never thought about that before. You're also probably being like, how is this on a horror podcast?
Because we talk about everything.
Yeah. Because it's funny as hell, and
we talk about things that make us smile.
Either if it makes us cringe or makes us laugh when we're discussing it, then we're on board. All right. Let's go back to 1977.
Let's.
First of all, it used to bug the shit out of me when kids used to say, look it, look it, look it. Because that's not proper.
It doesn't make sense.
It's stupid. But when Crystal Gayle was saying donuts make her brown eyes blue. Like, I have visions of her shoving Shipley's in her eyes. Like, donuts? Like, I don't get it. Donuts make my brown eyes blue? It's like,
do all donuts do that? Or just the glaze, right? The filled? What about a donut hole?
Again, don't be shoving donuts in your eyes. They'll change their color. You'll have to get a new driver's license and shit. What you gonna do? I mean, again, my dad was listening to Jimi Hendrix. And I understand, you know, the kiss me, or the excuse me while I kiss this guy. Like, that's just a misheard lyric. But it's, if taken literally, you know, kiss me.
He's kissing a guy.
Yeah. It's like, okay, it doesn't make sense. You know, it's like, and if you're listening to a song like Lola, well, then, yeah, that's bizarre, but it's straightforward. He's not hiding behind some other kind of words.
Right.
When Crystal Gayle says that donuts make her brown eyes blue, I'm sitting there, like, going to church, and they have donuts in the little fellowship hall, and I'm, like, looking at them weird because I got brown eyes, and I'm like, how many donuts would it take? And you're thinking, I'm reaching, but I'm not. Like, I was a weird little kid. Like, I was shit. Probably not the most, like, the bestest one, but still, it's there.
It's there.
I'm singing Hellfire.
Now, why the hell would Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, be riding on silver? That was who was in my head. Elvira,
right,
by the Oak Ridge Boys. There's a whole song about her.
I had a cousin named Elmira. She hated that song so much because all the other cousins used to sing it with her name in it.
Well, Elvira came out in 81.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, she's been around my whole life,
yeah,
as far as I can remember.
Yeah, me too.
So anybody that was named Elvira, I automatically
associated
was,
with.
Like, she's the Mistress of the Dark.
Right.
And so whenever they're like, Elvira, it's all upbeat and stuff, I just have this image of her, like, getting sit there serenaded. And they're like, hi, oh, silver, away. And I'm like, what? Okay.
Like, this a Lone Ranger.
I don't get it, but hey.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness till boredom overtook us. And he began to speak. He said, son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice. So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, if you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep. Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser, and the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out his cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up, when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough to count when the deal is done.
So I went ahead and played that whole one
because it tells a story.
And I'm hoping that maybe you listen to it a little closer than you normally would have. It
might inspire you to watch the movie.
But even as a little kid, I took this as a, not as a cautionary tale, but as a kind of a lesson. Like, So Kenny's getting schooled, like he's getting talked to by the gambler.
Yep.
The gambler's telling him, like, hey, for a sip of your whiskey,
I'll teach you something.
And he doesn't teach him shit. He says, if you want to know how to play cards, you got to know how to play cards. Give me a cigarette. And then he dies. So basically, the gambler just bluffed Kenny into, like, taking his last stuff, and then he cashes out. Kenny, there's nothing to learn in this. My daughter comes up and she says, Daddy, what letter is this? I was like, if you want to know your letters, you got to know your letters.
Bring me a cookie and I'll tell you. Yeah. I only have one left. Give me a cookie and I'll teach you.
Yeah. If you want to, now that I've got the cookie, you got to know how they sound and what they, how to use them.
I'm going to talk for 5 minutes about nothing.
Right.
And you won't be any smarter than you were before you gave me the cookie.
You're just going to be a one less cookie.
But you'll have a cool story to tell. You can write a song about it.
You met this bum on a train.
He took my cookie.
I think I pointed that out on Facebook one time, and somebody's like, oh man, don't knock Kenny. I'm like, I'm not really knocking Kenny, but that didn't teach me nothing. There's nothing in there. And realize, of course, again, that I'm like six, you know, like 79. Okay, so I was 3 when this song came out, so I was like 4 or 5 years old when it was like this song's dumb. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, tell me how to play poker. It's like,
you gotta know when to hold them.
It's like, go ahead.
You gotta know when to fold them. Yeah, no shit.
When is that? You know, it's like, dump your pocket aces because your odds are better to pick up a straight on the lower cards.
No, instead it's, don't let the other guy see your cards.
Yeah. Or even, like don't, just know when. You gotta know when. Well, when is that? I don't know.
I don't know. It's for you to figure out. I've told you what you need to know. Give me another cookie.
Know when to run. I guess, shit, everybody's looking mad. I guess it's that sound time.
Yeah, know when to hold them, know when to fold them. That's pretty much the two basic rules.
That's it.
Yeah. You haven't helped me any. You haven't made me any better.
We need to reach out to Trace. Like, bro, Kenny made millions off this advice. Like, you should write a book. Ah, okay. Man, we're going to come back with one more Kenny.
Okay.
While he was working, cattle and boys came calling. They took turns at Becky, and there were 3 of them. The cattle and boys just laughed at him when he walked into the bar room. One of them got up and hit him halfway across the floor.
Okay, so the once again, this is one of those songs that I understand literally. It's okay. There's nothing wrong specifically with the song. It's a well-told story. The Coward of the County. The only thing about it is that in the final act of the song, the Coward of the County, his wife gets raped, or his girlfriend gets raped by the town bullies. And that's who he ends up beating up and taking his role and saying, you know, sometimes you have to fight. The messed up thing is that it was the Gatlin boys that came and raped Becky. Well, the Gatlin brothers were a top act at the same time. Larry Gatlin and the Gatlin boys were on the charts at the same time. And
Kenny called him out.
Kenny called him out for raping his girlfriend. Or his nephew's girlfriend, anyway. And I was always like, I wonder if there's some beef in there.
It's like an old school rap feud.
Yes. And I've actually literally, I've been preparing for this show, but I've looked, like, see if there was any beef.
Like, long before Tupac and Biggie. Yeah, Kenny and the Gatlin boys. Yes.
But man, if you were the Gatlin brothers,
what are you trying to say, dude? Dude. You couldn't come up with another name that rhymed with in.
So yeah, that's again, you know, just being a little kid. This brings us to our final song. We'll probably tell some stories afterwards. But this is one that messed with me. I always thought of like shattered glass. I always thought of like the scene in Friday the 13th where, or in part 5 where the kid's all chopped up and like laying on the ground. It's like, what the hell happened to her?
I was can't mend that.
Like, she's broken and like she's in multiple pieces. Like, you need to call the cops or some kind of surgeon.
This lady's been injured.
But again, not understanding metaphor, just being like, holy crap, this is not a good song. Maybe that's why Kenny called him out.
That's why he was bringing him up.
He's over here, like, maybe that was their callback. You know? he's like, man, like, this chick's sad. And Kenny's like, yeah, I know. You messed around. You guys raped her. I know, dude. Like I said, this is a weird episode. But sometimes things just occur to you and you're just like, we got to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's more. I know there's a lot more. But whenever I was just like writing down these songs, I was like, dude, I'm going to just talk about these things. Like, they got, like, right off the top of my head, there's like 10 of them. Just like boom, 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 boom.
Right.
It was like, if I did some research, I could probably find like 20 more.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
You know, it was one of the songs that used to creep me out all the time was, I remember when I watched Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band starring the Bee Gees. Do you remember that movie? When they sang Come Together. That song used to creep me the hell out because the thing about the sticky fingers and shit. And imagine just a horrible, horrible, evil man. That song used to trip me out. That was before I realized that the Beatles had sang that song.
Right.
I thought it was the Bee Gees, you know, when that horrible movie came out. The movie was actually fun as a kid. I've watched it since then, and it's kind of...
Sgt. Pepper?
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of stuff that... The Beatles and like a lot of stuff that came out of like the late 60s.
The late Beatles was the trippy stuff.
A lot of weird stuff. But that's the thing is, you know, like I realized that there's a lot of weird stuff, but it was actually written to be weird.
Right.
There's a lot of strange stuff out there that they're like, I wonder if I could, you know, drink something or eat something and make this weirder. But all of these songs...
Then you call my buddy Timothy Leary and see what he has to say.
Like, these are all straightforward songs, and metaphorically, they're just fine. Like I get it. There's a tiger in these tight-fitting jeans. I get it. But my mind still goes back to when I was 5 years old, and I'm like, what the hell kind of tiger is she fitting in her pants?
Why does she have that in there?
she just thought she'd go to a bar and pick up a stranger and be like, check out this tiger. I guess if you're trying to make friends, that would be a cool way to do it.
Yeah, he's trying to impress folks.
Oh my gosh.
And that was even before Exxon had a tiger in the tank. That was long before that.
I think that's it for my weird ass rant. This is gonna be a hard show to cut together. It's gonna take me a while to like get all the songs.
Right.
Like,
it's gonna sound good when you do.
I don't know. Do y'all have any weird songs out there that just, you know,
struck a nerve when you were a kid?
Just those kind of things you can't let go. So if you even hear them now, you're still like, I said, tight fitting jeans is one of those that I still think, like of some woman in a bar
with a tiger in her pants,
with a tiger in her pocket.
Maybe it's a tiger striped underwear.
Well, that's what it, that's what she was getting at.
Yeah, but not the underwear, but just the action.
Anyway, that's what we got going on. By the time this actually airs, we will have space and be probably selling vendor space for Scary Dad Haunted Halloween Show Part 2.
Yep.
The sequel. That will be the title of the show. We're going to keep on the theme of the horror movie stuff and give us, you know, Part 3 might be 3D and Part 4 might be the revenge and, you know, A New Blood and all kinds of fun stuff like that. So if you're interested in hanging out with us at the Scary Dad Halloween Show, again, I can't say it on... I could probably cut in and edit, but this will have already been published. I don't know. But
we'll do a special meta whenever we go to announce.
But we're gonna have a... It's gonna be bigger and better than last year, and we're just gonna be moving forward with that. Like us, share us. Join the Facebook groups and the forum. People are always posting fun pictures and stuff. We got all of our sponsors from last year. Daryl from Kingwood Asylum, Kingwood Asylum themselves, Relic the Clown, a whole bunch of friends of the show. They're always posting really cool stuff going on with their haunts, and mm-hmm. we want you guys to get out and support them. And you're thinking like, man, you're already talking about Halloween and it's only the end of April. And the answer is, yeah, we're going to Frightmare in just a couple of days.
Yep.
We're gonna blow all the money. We're just gonna there will be no money, and then it'll be the Halloween show, and then that's when y'all can come and give us money so that we can keep doing what we're doing. But anyway, guys, we love you, and we will see you next week. And until next week, keep it scary.
Later.